bring what's on your heart. Pin the microphone to your...
As always, it's a great blessing to be here. There's an extra like flavor of blessing this year because once we crossed the border, things have been getting a little bit more dangerous in Mexico at the border and whatnot. So crossing, I just laid my burdens down at the border or something. And it was nice. But on top of that, I was able to walk into Walmart for the first time in a while and not wear a mask. And wow, it's just, these small things that, but man, it was great. It was great. I'm going to miss that, going back to Mexico, wearing a mask and seeing people walk around the streets alone with a mask and whatnot. It's going to be missed. But anyway, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing being on the field. It's been a year and a half. I think that it's been the strangest send-off for a missionary in a long time because I got sent out of my church like a couple of weeks before a global pandemic. And so it was very strange. And I got to Mexico. I don't speak the language. I know maybe three verses by heart in Spanish. And I'm like, okay, I had all these expectations, and I know that's usually the case. We have an expectation, we go to the field, and it's just like totally different. But this was like double totally different. I mean, pandemic added into the mix. Things are shut down. The language school was shut down. I had all these expectations to go into language school, but that didn't happen for a few months. But I've been in language school for about 7 months now. To my surprise, she said I'm an intermediate level Spanish speaker. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if she's helping me with the scores or whatever, but and it was a blessing. She's a Christian as well. She's saved, and so that was cool. And it's a big blessing. I mean, I can't describe the blessing it is to finally be able to communicate with people. Coming out of this quarantine for a year or so, not speaking the language on top of that, not fellowshipping with brethren. I mean, I went from everything to like, stuck in a house in Mexico. It could get depressing some days. And, but now everything's picking up and things are opening up and I could speak the language and it's just, wow, it's been nice. It really has been. For those of you who don't know, we moved to the north side. The Lord made it possible for us both to find a place, and very close. We're neighbors, me and John, and it's great. Some of y'all are like, oh, I don't know, maybe you'll see in a few years or whatever. And I understand. I understand. We're family and. And sometimes we rub elbows sometimes, and he's very involved, and it's a good thing. He's very involved, And, but I'm thankful. You know what? I grew up without a father, and I would exchange any day having someone very involved in my life. And me have to tell him sometimes, okay, I got this. I would exchange that any day for not having a father. And so it's been just a blessing having that relationship with, also my coworker and just going on. And this August, we're going to start the new work and it's exciting. It's exciting. So, anyway, open your Bible to, Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11. I want to talk to y'all about shame today. Maybe an interesting topic or a surprising topic, but it's something that, it's a thought that God gave me that, I don't know, it's just, it really touched me. It really touched me. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11:16. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray real quick. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. It's humbling, Lord. Wow, you're just amazing, Lord. All that matters in this moment, Lord, is your blessing, Father. I pray that you would bless this message, that you would bless understanding, Lord. Above all else, that you would get the glory, Lord. That's really what the aim is here. That's really what we want, Father. And I just pray for you to be exalted, Father, and in the hearts of all of us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse struck me. It struck me, that statement where it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And I just got to thinking, wow, God, he is not ashamed of certain things, which means he's ashamed of other things. And so I have 3 points, maybe 3.5. I'm not sure about the last one. It's kind of short, but 3 points. And the first one is what we should never be ashamed of, us, what we should never be ashamed of. The second point is the things that God is not ashamed of. And the fourth point is God ashamed of you? And so we're going to go through these. First of all, I want to define shame. And this is written from a famous author. His name is Matthew St. Arnold. It says, a feeling of embarrassment when that is always associated with something you care for, whether it's a person or self. And so I just want to go to a verse, 2 Corinthians 9, if you'll turn there with me, just as an example, maybe to put some legs on that definition. 2 Corinthians 9, basically we have this high expectation, we are invested in it emotionally, and it does not turn out the way we expected it. We want it this way for this person, or we want it this way because of our reputation, and something happens where we fail or they fail, and wow, there is shame. And that's basically how I can think about it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3 to 4, just an example of shame. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. There's the expectation, the high expectation. In this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So Paul had this expectation for that church that they were going to give, and they're talking to everybody about this. Oh, wow, they're an amazing church. They're going to give. I think he sent Titus to teach them how to give, and so let's do this. And he's going to bring those from Macedonia to check this out, and he's like, just make sure you come through because it's going to be pretty shameful because we're boasting everywhere about y'all. So I think that brings the gist of what that is. Romans 10:11, you don't need to turn there, but it says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And that's an amazing verse because we can put our expectations, amen, our high expectations on God, amen, and he promises you won't be ashamed. Believe me, you won't be ashamed. Believe my promises. So that's an amazing verse. What we should never be ashamed of. What we should never be ashamed of. Obviously, I put this as the first point because I think it's pretty straightforward and everyone knows this. And I didn't put it the first because it's less important, but just because I think y'all know this. Let's turn to Romans 1, verse 15. Romans 1, verse 15. What we should never be ashamed of. So Romans 1:15 says, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed, amen, of the gospel of Christ. Amen. For it, and he gives you a reason, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Something we should never be ashamed of, brethren, is the gospel of Christ. And I know it's, oh yes, I know. But how often do we get ashamed of the gospel? It sneaks up on us. You know, we're on the street and, man, maybe you haven't gone out preaching in a while, or you skipped a few months, a few weeks, or maybe a few years, and you show up and you're ready to do it, and there comes that timid, that fear, that shame. And why? Why is that? Why is that, brethren? He is the superior one that none should ever be ashamed of. You know, I know that young people, they have these, they look up to some of these sports superstars, and they look up to these music artists and actors in Hollywood sometimes, and a lot of them are pretty bad people. But man, these people, they look up to them, and because they have all this power, they have all this influence, they have all this, who knows, wisdom. Some people look up to all sorts of people because they have something that is valuable, something that they're very good at. And they're not ashamed of these people. If you ask, are you ashamed of so-and-so, blah, 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 they say, no. I mean, why would I be ashamed of him? He's so talented. He's so wise. He's so rich or whatever. And God created the world, and God is omnipotent and omnipresent, and he's all-knowing. And this is a great God. This isn't just like the Greek gods that, you know, they all have their special gift. No, this is the all-inclusive. He has it all, brethren. He has it all. And he's not in all anger and judgment neither. He's humble, and he's humble enough to come down as a man and not live for 1 year, but 33 years, and work with his hands and be homeless, and then die for his own creation who rebelled against him, and who most of them, by the way, won't even give him the time of day. That God, some of y'all are ashamed of. Some of y'all are ashamed of sometimes. Why? Why are we ashamed of a God like that? We have an amazing God. We have an amazing gospel. He's done great things for us. We ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. Never, never. There's never an excuse for that in our lives, in our walks with Christ. Let's go. I'm actually just going to read this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. But there are some things that we should be ashamed of, right? There's certain things we shouldn't be ashamed of, but we definitely should be ashamed of certain things in our lives. Shame is a good thing. You know, you've heard the saying from I guess other people to younger people usually. Do you have no shame? Do you have no shame? You know, you're doing this. You have no shame, and I think that's a problem in our society. It's a big problem. People are ashamed of things that are amazing and good and holy. And people are not ashamed of disgusting things that are going on in this world. And you know what? That's not just the world. That's Christians today. Ashamed of preaching in the street. They'd rather just do other non-offensive ways of evangelizing. And I'm not saying it's the only way, but I'm saying, man, there's a lot of shame out there. A lot of shame from Christians. They want to do things their way and the most watered down way. Let's add in a whole bunch of activities and food to try and drown out the offensiveness of the gospel, and maybe we'll get some people. And man, there's just so much shame in Christianity today. Yeah. But then there's a whole bunch of Christians that just, they do things, they go out to the bar, and they use their liberty in Christ, and they're not ashamed of the testimony that they're giving, and of the brethren that they're offending, the brethren that they're causing to stumble. And brethren, there's things that we ought to be ashamed of.
That's right.
We ought to be ashamed of things. And we ought to hold that line as to what we ought to be ashamed of. For example, in Corinthians, when they're disciplining that brother who went out and committed adultery and fornication, they said, you separate yourself from that brother so that he would be ashamed. Shame is a good thing. Shame is a good thing in certain cases. And so we need to examine our lives, examine ourselves, and ask ourselves, do we have the right convictions and right convictions about what we're ashamed of? And are we ashamed of the things that we shouldn't be ashamed of, like the gospel of Christ? Like going to church, like carrying something simple, like carrying your Bible into work, or carrying your Bible. You want to carry your phone because, it's people won't know. You know, carry your Bible into work. Carry your Bible into school, into college. Don't be ashamed of the all-wise God. My second point is God is not ashamed of his own. This is an incredible thought. To me, he's not ashamed of his own. He's not ashamed of what he accomplished at the cross. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But for it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's just an amazing work that he did there. And he says, for both he that sanctifieth, that's Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Wow, that's an amazing thing, you know? Some of us are ashamed of each other for sometimes really ridiculous reasons. But Christ looks down, and he died and saved you from your sins, and he looks at his sacrifice and he says, this is sufficient. This is enough to pay for your worst, sickening sin that no one knows about. And he says, it's enough. It's more than enough. Grace did much more abound. And he says, I'm not ashamed of calling you mine. You're mine. And I'm not ashamed of that. Because when heaven looks down, they have nothing to accuse you for, because the blood of Christ has washed away all your sins. And the resurrection has given him authority to say, he's mine, he's mine. That's amazing, brethren. God's not ashamed of certain things, regardless of how you are right now, regardless of possibly your backsliding for a few months or years. God's not ashamed to call you his. He says, no, you're mine. You're mine. I saved you. I died for you. My blood is sufficient. And that's amazing. If you don't know Christ, Christ is able to save you completely. His blood will pay for all your sins, your worst sin. That's amazing. You accept Christ today. That's an amazing gift of God, and he will not be ashamed. He's not ashamed of what he accomplished. God, another thing God is not ashamed of, God could be proud of what you do. God was not ashamed of what he did on the cross. His work is amazing, perfect. But he can also be not ashamed, or I guess you can say proud, for lack of better terms, gratified by what you do in this life, by your actions, by your decisions. Like the verse that I read earlier, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, all right, it's a decision they made in their mind. And God says, because of that, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. I'm not ashamed to be associated. He probably, he's in heaven. He's talking to, like he talked about his servant Job, you know. Have you considered my servant Job? I'm pretty proud of him. He's made some good decisions. He's full of faith. He's made some good decisions. Hey, look at this guy. Look at brother so-and-so. And he can be gratified or not ashamed of things that you do in this world. That's amazing to me that I can make my God proud. I mean, you know, I know that there is some pretty skilled people in this world, intelligent people beyond belief in this world. And you know what? Often they're not impressed by many things. Yeah. They're not. They're just, yeah, whatever. You know, I've seen it all, done it all, you know, whatever. And you know, if that's them, then how much more God? I mean, he's literally seen it all. Yeah. He knows it all. He can do it all. But yet, he will say, I'm not ashamed to be called your God because of your decisions. That's an amazing thing to me, brethren. We ought to consider that. He's not ashamed of our faith. God, he puts a tremendous amount of value in this thing we call faith. We call faith. And he's constantly rebuking his disciples, those who are closest to him. O ye of little faith. How is your faith today, brethren? How is your faith? My third point. Is God ashamed of you? Is God ashamed of me? Mark, let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Mark 8. 38. It says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what a statement, what a picture we have here. That Christ himself comes back, not in a humble fashion, in glory and honor, and he comes and somehow he's ashamed of certain people. And I think some of us sometimes we read that and we just kind of like pass over it or replace it with he'll be angry with those, but it doesn't say he'll be angry with them. Maybe he will be also angry with them, but it says he'll be ashamed. Ashamed of certain of his people. Ashamed of certain people. That's a profound statement to me. Yeah, sure. That God can be ashamed. God can be ashamed. I mean, think about that. You know, like I mentioned, there is some people out there that are very wealthy, very intelligent, and they're not impressed by many things, and also not ashamed by many things. You know, I hardly ever see Hollywood stars and whatnot, unless they're caught in a really bad scandal. But they just do what they want. They make their own decisions. They buy things and they wear crazy stuff, you know. And they're just not ashamed, you know, because I'm at the top of the food chain, you know. And so they just, you know, do whatever they want. They're not ashamed of many things. Very rare. And so for me to think of a high God in the heavens who has control over everything, that he can actually be like embarrassed. That's very, very strange to me. That God can be embarrassed. And what's worse is he could be embarrassed of you. Of you. Wow, I don't want God to be embarrassed of me. You know what? I'd rather him be angry with me. I'd rather go somewhere and, you know, one of my pastors, I'd rather them yell at me and tell me, you know, that was dumb. You know, I stay away from the word stupid now because I go to Mexico and that's a bad word apparently. I learned that quick. So now I'm like, that's foolish. But yeah, you know, I'd rather be yelled at by my pastors, you know. That was dumb. Why'd you do that? You know, no, you got to change your ways, because anger, you know, it kind of lasts for like a moment and then it's passed away. But shame is a lot more deep rooted. It's a lot more gripping. It goes deep into your soul and it grabs a hold of you. And sometimes you can't shake it. Shame, shame. You have to kind of, I don't know, but God, it says God would be ashamed of some people. Ashamed of some people. You know, I think of the verse that I just read, adulterous and sinful generation. And you know, that's where we are right now. I mean, it says evil seducers and sinners will wax worse and worse, you know, as the coming of the Lord comes. And you know, I don't know if the coming of the Lord is tomorrow or a year from now. I have no idea, but I know, I feel that it's close. And I feel that Israel is a very good sign for that. But this is an evil and adulterous generation. I mean, more, I would say more so than back then. More so than back then, just because the Bible says it's going to get worse. I mean, I just believe the Bible. So we're in a pretty bad situation, brethren. It also talks about the church falling away before the coming of the Lord. Talks about a great falling away. And it's not going to be a glorious zest at the end of the you know, whatever, dispensation or before the coming of the Lord. It's not going to be a really big revival, I don't think. From what I see in the Bible, there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be some, it's going to be pretty sick and sad time for Christianity. But we're in an evil and sinful generation, which means the darker it is, the easier it is for you to shine your gospel light or your testimony. It's if you just walk the straight and narrow, or somewhat half of the straight and narrow at the least, you're going to shine like a bright light in this world, because it's so evil today. Things are so backwards. People think good is evil and evil is good. It's so backwards that if you're just like a half-hearted Christian at the least, you're going to shine. And so when God says that I'm going to be ashamed of you because you decided in that opportunity to be able to shine so bright in that evil and wicked and perverse generation, you had that opportunity to hold forth my word and shine a little bit, and you didn't. And you just decided to, you know, put your candle in a bushel or whatnot. And he said, I'm going to be ashamed of you, because that is a very easy way to shine your light. It's an easy, easy way to be a light today, because it's so dark. It's so dark. And I think that's maybe part of the reason why he's going to be ashamed of those that are ashamed of his words in that evil and adulterous generation. The more sinful the situation, the more likely his words will be shameful. Finally, I'm just going to end with this point, this small concluding point. What else will matter? What else will matter? You know, if God is ashamed of you in the end of your life, at the judgment, at his coming, whatever comes first, what else will matter? When you stand in front of him with the fire in his eyes, you know what happened to the apostles, who were probably a lot better than us? You know what happened when they saw him? They fell dead at his feet. You know, you think you're going to say something to him or make it, you know, oh, well, you know, I did that because, you know, this, and because my wife, or who knows? No, you're going to fall dead at his feet. You won't even be able to say one word. And in that moment, brethren, what else will matter except for his shame for you, or except for his approval of you? What else is going to matter? And you know what? What else will matter after that? What else is going to matter for eternity after that? Once you see him, that's it. Everything's changing. He's bringing his kingdom, his glorious kingdom, like we sang today. He's going to bring it, and that's it. That's it for evil. We're going to be with him forever. Amen. What else will matter? What else is going to matter? And you know what? If none of that matters, you know, in the future or in that moment, then what does matter now, really? I mean, you know, we have this little vapor of a time here on earth. And so if it matters significantly for God to not be ashamed of you at his coming, then really that's what matters now. That's what we should be focused on. Not bringing God shame in this life? Ask yourself, is God ashamed of your walk? Is he ashamed of your decisions? Is he ashamed of the way you raise your kids, how unruly they are? Is he ashamed at the movies you watch? Is he ashamed at your cursing, at your language? Is he ashamed at simply you speak nice, but you just speak about sports all day long? Is God ashamed, like, man, I saved this guy. I gave him everything that he needs to prosper, to be a super Christian. And yet, he's just working for his toys and whatnot. Is he ashamed of your possessions? Or you got 5 cars and 2 people in your house. Is he ashamed? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not the other way around. Where your heart is, that we're, you know, we always like to say, well, it depends on where my heart is. No, look around you, look at your treasure, and that's probably, most likely, that is where your heart is. Yeah. Is God ashamed of your life? Is he ashamed of the amount of evangelism you put in a daily basis, or in a year, or whatever? Brethren, is he ashamed of your witness at your job, of your witness at your school, of your witness in San Antonio? Is he ashamed that you use maybe just the abundance of your time, the little, oh, I got some free time, a Saturday, you know, right after lunch, but right before the game to go preaching? Is he ashamed that you just treat him like that? Is he ashamed of you, brethren? Ask yourself that. It's time for examination for all of us, including me. Is he ashamed of you, brethren? Thanks for listening. And I hope this conference will be a blessing. I don't know how to end messages. All right. I'll see you later.
26, send the light.